Morning. Hey, I'm just gonna get my slides going here. Love my slides. Apparently, those are like outdated for people who are speaking, but I really love slides. So I spoke two weeks ago. Who is here? Show of hands. Okay. Well, I'm gonna quickly do a little run through of what I had shared. And then, hopefully move through a few more points that I wanted to touch on. And what I had talked about was our search for significance and impacting eternity, not just impacting, the earthly history right now, but living lives that actually affects eternity and the kingdom and the things that actually last. We've been given an invitation to do that through Christ, and so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, talk a little bit about how we come into our calling and some of the things I haven't arrived, but some of the things I've been learning over the last few years that, have just been, stirring in me. And so I shared a little bit about my journey. I don't think I'll get too much into that this morning. Here's a summary. I stressed how it was important to be rooted in grace. When you start talking about your calling and walking into good works and building the kingdom, it's really easy to get caught up in earning some kind of approval from God and feeling shame or condemnation because you're not doing enough. And so we talked a lot about grace and how we've been saved by grace, not by works. And I talked about how we have a calling that's bigger than being good and going to heaven. And that was how I lived a lot of my Christian walk. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate. Just a lot of my spirituality, my connection with God was trying to manage myself and manage my sin or try to do what people, what other people were thinking I should do and trying to be good so I could get, through my life being good and then I'm going to heaven and that's when, I don't know, something great happens. But God's really given us a place and authority and a position here on earth now where we can affect our world in an eternal way that's beyond just like being good. And when we're caught up in just being good all the time, we actually can be distracted from the things that God has prepared for us. We talked a little bit about rejecting the disqualifying statements of the enemy. There are certain things, everyone's had this, and I'm no exception. Shared some of the things that I've felt disqualified in for a long time. I felt like, oh, I'm too young. I'm not a charismatic speaker. I'm not like going to be pacing back and forth and waving my hands all around. So I can't, I can't be a speaker. And then I got a little bit older. I'm like, well, I'm a woman. Will anyone take me seriously? Like, there's always something that you can say or something that you can listen to. Those whispers that come along throughout my life. I've been kind of a I can be passionate about certain things that I really believe in, and I was told I was argumentative, and that really wounded me for a long time. I closed myself off and tried to stay out of the thick of things, the things that I was passionate about, because I didn't want to be perceived as an argumentative person, and that actually drew me back and away from my calling. So, being able to identify those things that have been spoken over you. Or that you've been agreeing with and partnering with, that's important for you to take steps forward. So I've been in the process of that. And then a couple points here that I didn't get to that I want to talk about today. Significance in God's kingdom looks different than significance in the world. It's very different. I want to talk about that. Striving doesn't produce a significant impact on eternity. So grace, gifts aren't paid for. Receive the gift of salvation. Accept his love and approval. Children belong to their family. When they mess up, they don't lose their lineage. They're still a part of the family. And in grace, we're exchanging the old man with the new. I'm just going to go to my slide. So I left off with this slide last Sunday. And I think the last message is posted online if you guys want to listen to that. So hopefully it's not too disconnected. So I'd left off with this quote from Heather. I really love Heather because she shared at our women's conference that we had last November, just talking about her wrestle with anxiety and people-pleasing and striving, and she's come out of that. And so this is a quote that she had on Instagram. Striving's trying to get something you don't have, but diligence is living from what you've been given. So, yeah, there really is a contrast there. So, striving can come from a place of fear, I think. Really, when you're looking at making an impact on the world and looking to say, like, hey, I want to be partnering with you, God. I want to be building the kingdom. I want to be doing all these things. If you're living in a place of fear, you're going to be striving. You're going to be working really hard to get something that only God can give you. You are going to need to evaluate the fuel for your desire to have significance. So is it fear or love? This bottom, there's supposed to be love down there. Is it fear or love that's driving you? Sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference between diligence, like being diligent with the gifts and callings that you've been given, and striving to perform or meet an expectation. It can be really hard to tell the two. And this is something that, again, God's been working in my heart. Am I being motivated by love, or am I being motivated by fear? And I've gotten really, really good at telling. It took me a long time, actually, to start to recognize the difference. I remember we were going to do a dance number a couple of years ago, and I was, you know, you're like shaking and trembling because you're going to go on stage and do something, and that feels vulnerable or whatever. And I was realizing I was feeling fearful, and in years past, I would never have checked that. I would just been like, of course I'm scared, like this is scary. But I checked that fear. I'm like, why am I feeling fearful today within this moment? And recognizing that I was really concerned about what people were thinking and saying, like, no, this is serving God. I'm ministering right now in doing this dance, you know, number, and it became love-oriented. Like, I love the people that are going to watch this. I want to be at peace, you know, and I can dance and whatever and feel confident in that. And so just being able to check that is something that you can practice. So, yeah, I spent a little bit of time reading about Saul and David, like King Saul and King David. And if you remember, the nation was scared. They had just had judges. They had no king, but all the nations around them had kings, and there was a lot of pressure coming on the nation. And they're like, God, we want a king. We want someone. And so they're reacting in fear, right? We want a king. And God says, you don't need a king. I'm your king. And they said, we want a king. So there's already this like striving to become a nation, become something that God had already said that they were. And like, God's so gracious. They see Saul, and he looks the part, right? Like, outwardly, he's tall. He went and, like, hid in the baggage. I found that funny. But he was totally scared, but he was tall and, like, stately, and they thought, this is a king, you know. He came from a rich family or whatever. And so God says, okay, I'm going to anoint him. I thought that was amazing, too. Like, God, even though this wasn't his plan, he said, I'm going to put my spirit on Saul. And so he anoints him through Samuel. But Saul's heart is, like, not prepared for this position at all. He is so used to striving, and unlike David, isn't prepared in that secret place at all with God, with, you know, rest and peace. He's always looking to prove himself that he can be the king. And so, yeah, he's tormented by fear from the beginning. There's a moment where they defeat an army, and he's been commanded to destroy all of the loot or give it all up to God, and he actually like hoards it to himself. And that's like fear again. I'm like, fear, you know? Why would he want to keep that wealth for himself? Like, God's given him everything. God's creating this nation, but he's scared, right? He's keeping stuff to himself. He lies about it. And I don't know if you guys were singing a song when the armies would come back. They were singing that Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And this made Saul even more fearful and angry. He was just spiraling at this point. And the Spirit had left him. His relationship with God was severed because he was just trying to do it all on his own. So he was stuck in this place of striving and fear, like trying to make it happen. And then we have David, who was a boy when he was anointed, not like a tall man, you know, that stands above the crowd. He's a little boy, you know, who's out in the field with lambs and a harp, who's like not, like that's not a guy equipped to lead a nation. He's like really good at playing the harp, you know, and you know, he's a worshiper, and he's kind of a lowly person, right? Even his own dad. So when Samuel comes and he's looking at Jesse's family, he's like, hey, you know, line them all up. I want to see, like, there's someone in your, one of your sons will be the king. And his father lines them all up and, like, in order, like, descending order of height, probably. And the oldest, obviously, would be number one choice. David isn't even there. Samuel goes to the end and he's like, where, there's got to be someone else. He's like, well, David's out in the field. Like, so he was so insignificant, even in his own family, that he wasn't even brought up to that lineup. But what was significant about David was that he had learned to find rest and peace in the heart of the Father. He had found that grace connection, right? So he was being diligent with what he had been given. He had been given, you know, this flock to take care of. He was diligent in caring for them. He was a musician. He was diligent in writing psalms and praising God. So very small things, but he was diligent with them and was using them to glorify God. So when you look at the life of David, even though he falls, his like horrible sin in his life and all these things, like a son doesn't lose his lineage, David is still called a man after God's own heart, I think because he had found that grace and rest in the Father. And God actually makes an eternal promise to David. So this is touching on that eternal impact and significance. Like, David's just a man, but God says, I'm going to put your line on the throne forever. Like, David's line. Like, a man. God says, I'm going to partner with you in an eternal way and put a king on the throne that comes from your line. And who was that? It's Jesus. Jesus is in David's lineage. And that's an incredible promise. Like, that there's a promise for you, too, that God will partner with you in an eternal way. If you're willing to find that place of rest and grace and be diligent with the things that God's given you, he can actually like smash together like the earth's history and eternity. So I just it's amazing. Paul calls us co-laborers with Christ. Like, I don't know why God's decided to work with us in this way, but he has. He's chosen to be co-laborers with us. He didn't just come and, you know, wave his hand and maybe, you know, make everything happen. Like, his kingdom is being built by his people with his Spirit in us. Like, in us, together. So when we move out of the fear motivation in our lives and into being love-driven, we can find Jesus' yoke. I talked about that last time I spoke, that Jesus said, you know, come and take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy and light. Like, come and learn from me. The yoke isn't just like one oxen pulling a cart. It's two oxens being linked together and pulling side by side. He's saying, hey, I've got this yoke. Come and stand beside me. Let's pull together. He's co-laboring with you. That's the invitation. So his perfect love casts out all fear. And the rest that comes from accepting the love and grace from our Father gives us freedom from striving. So significance in God's kingdom looks different than the world. If you're still trying to please the world, you're in the wrong place. You're not going to do a really good job. If you're trying to be, you know, a believer and follow Christ, and you're also trying to please everyone out there, you're going to do a really bad job of one or the other, right? Paul said, you know, he's ministering to the churches, and there, you know, there's accusations coming against Paul, like throughout the New Testament, they're saying that he, you know, was teaching all these things that were anti-God, and, you know, saying people could do whatever they want, you know, he said in Galatians 1, for am I now seeking the approval of man or God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So it's not the place to be. If you're trying to please man, like, don't be a Christian. Don't be here. But if you've come to know the Father and you've come to know his grace, you can't be consumed and caught up with what the world's thinking about you. You're not going to be able to live in both camps. Jesus said, deny yourself. I want to actually turn there. That's in Luke. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's a sacrifice. There's a walking in the footsteps of Jesus, who was never concerned about what everyone around him thought, only concerned about what the Father thought. He was constantly in submission to that. So we're supposed to follow that example. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? When you're chasing after worldly success and striving for that approval of man and everything, you'll actually lose who you are. You'll lose yourself. So this is what the kingdom looks like. It looks like us laying down our lives. That's not success in the world's eyes. Like, becoming something is what success in the world's eyes. But laying down what you are and accepting what God wants to do through you, that's kingdom. A lot of what the world teaches is like being a significant or a successful person is being seen by the world, being noticed and being called out, and, you know, you're famous or for something, you got your big break and everyone knows who you are. That's a successful person. You made a lot of cash and whatever, you built an empire or something. You're a successful person, self-made man kind of thing. But in the kingdom of God, recognition like that isn't success. And I know that I've been caught up in this kind of thought, and I think it can be very common in the church to be looking for recognition from the people around you or from your leaders to feel like you can be a successful person, that you can actually walk out into your calling. I talked with Roger about this morning. There was kind of a During like all of the shifting in our congregation years ago, I had sat down with Roger for coffee, and it was like a really tough day for him. just a lot of people were frustrated, or you know, and he said, he was just kind of, Crystal, I can't see everyone. I'm just a man. I don't know what's inside of everyone. And I had come to that conversation feeling like, Nathan and I come from our Bible school, and we were like excited to come here and teach the word, and we were feeling all like pumped up, but then it felt like there was no space for us, and I was waiting for that invitation from a leader to step out into those things, and I was frustrated when I didn't find it, and I felt like I couldn't be who God had created me to be, because there wasn't someone up front, like where I'm standing now, like a man or whatever, saying like, hey, you can, you know, come and do this. And I had come to that conversation feeling that way, feeling a frustration with the church, and like, hey, when is everyone going to get their act together? Like this, you know, there was bitterness that had developed in my heart, and just all these things, because I hadn't been noticed. And Rob's like, I'm just a man. I hadn't even shared all that, you know, but Rob's like, I don't know what's in every person. Like, we all have to take those steps of obedience and take steps forward with what we have in our calling, you know, before anyone around us is going to be like, hey, I get it, I see it, and, you know, I'm blessing us. Like, we really need to take those moments, to be vulnerable and step out, like even committing to speak, like I had shared 2 weeks ago. Like, it's a step of vulnerability for me. It's a step of obedience and coming against, you know, all the accusations I believed for so long that I'm not, you know, equipped enough to do this or whatever. Like, it feels vulnerable. So waiting for a pastor to give, you know, his recognition and like stamp of approval, I think has been maybe the old way of doing things. But there's a new church that's rising up that's not looking for a man to tell them what they can or can't do in the body. Like, we actually have all been given the Spirit of God inside of us. There's actually things that God has prepared for all of us to step into. And I'm just really excited about this morning, actually, that you're all here, because I've felt this anticipation and this excitement for our church body and like the global church, I think, is moving into this where we've started to understand, you know, grace and started to move away from striving to prove ourselves to ourself and to everyone around us, but really have started to look upward to God and ask, like, what have you created me for? What purpose have you put me on earth for? We had talked last week about how we're not saved by good works, but we are created for them. And they've been prepared beforehand by God for us. So if that's true, you have a purpose. Each one of you has a purpose right now today for being born, and it's been prepared beforehand by God. It's not the way to salvation, but it is a purpose that you can come into if you're willing and ready to do that. You can actually ask God, and you know he's going to bring that forward. So, I just thinking about recognition and thinking about how this question, like, was DNA insignificant before scientists had noticed it? Like, God knew what DNA was, and it was always significant, even when people, the world, didn't know about it. Like, likewise, what's inside of us is significant. There's a calling inside of us, and whether or not people have noticed it in you yet, that doesn't make it an insignificant thing. I also was reading about Albert Einstein, who is not a great guy, actually. he definitely had some issues. But in his family, he was called the dopey one. Like Albert Einstein, everyone thought he wouldn't succeed. He was bad in school. He was distracted and really bad at math, actually. And he laid the foundation for modern-day physics. He came from a poor family, and he had a cruel father. And he went to school and got his degree, and he couldn't get a job. So he wrote his first papers while he was working as a clerk, like not even working in physics at all. He was writing his papers. So he was being diligent with the things that were inside of him, even when he wasn't in the position that he wanted to be. He didn't have the connections that he thought he needed, but he was still being diligent. And this is a man who, I don't know, didn't seem to know God at all. So how much more for us when we like are connected with God and are diligent with the things that God's placed inside of us, even when we don't feel like we're in a position that we can step out and start acting on these things? You know, how much more is God going to bless us and break open those opportunities for us? Yeah, so know that God sees where you are. He's aware of the gifts that he's placed in you. Not that you have developed, he's placed them. He's aware of your calling because he's the one who gave it. And when we can get to a point where his acknowledgement and him knowing us is enough for us to confidently walk into what we've been called to, we're going to enter into that eternal realm, I believe, of impacting eternity. Does that make sense? Am I talking too fast? Or yeah, thanks. I don't have my flaggers today. Last Sunday was after the Jets games, and my nieces had brought like the little towels. So when I made a good point, they were going to wave them around. But so you guys are like free to say amen. So you know, then I know that can be your flag. Then I know I'm saying things clearly. So now that we're fueled by love and not fear, we've learned to recognize, hey, I'm afraid. I'm gonna like reframe that and come into a love position. We're ready to move into impacting eternity. I think it's easy with a message of grace that we're not saved by works but saved by grace. It's easy to like sit back and be like, hey, I can just relax and I'm not going to do anything. And I know not everyone's like this, but I am. So if any of you are like me, it can be easy just to sit back and be like, I'm just going to let my life play out its course. And, you know, maybe God will make something happen, maybe not. But Paul is constantly calling the church to walk out their faith, to step out. And James is, like, tough. He's like, if you don't have works, you don't have faith. I don't think Paul would say that. Not that they disagree, but I think Paul had come from a different place than James. I think they had different experiences. So Paul, like, was the works guy, right? Like, back when he was Saul, he was zealous and passionate and well-educated, and he was killing Christians, right? Like, it was, like, striving to the max. There was no love there. And so Paul has a very, he will say, like, you need to walk it out, you know, but he's very careful to always, like, wrap it up in grace, because I think he had walked that out, like, very vividly in his life, a zealous life for God that was not filled with love at all. James is bold to say, like, if you don't have works, your faith is dead. He calls works, like, the body of faith, like, If you're filled with faith, then you're going to be walking out good works in your life. Like, that's like the evidence that this body of faith is alive. So there's definitely a time to move from sitting in faith and grace to like walking it out. And I feel like the church is prepared, and our church is prepared to do that. If you feel like you're rooted in grace and you're not like constantly dealing with condemnation and shame, you know, I think there's a time now to, like, step out and let go of the things that have been holding you back and walk into the things that God's called you for. Are you waiting for the right blank to come along? For a long time, I was waiting for the right moment, the right invitation from the right person, the right feeling. Like, I don't want to commit to speaking unless I'm feeling it. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel it until you commit. That's my experience. Until you're taking that step, you know. Yeah, I remember wishing that I could get married because my spouse... Are you nodding? I was wishing to get married and because I thought my spouse can help me, keep me accountable to doing my devotions, and we'll both grow together. I was like expecting that my spiritual life would blossom when I got married because I'd have this person who would like help me do these things. And I don't know if you've ever had a spouse like tell you you should probably do your devotions or something like that. That is not going to fly very well. Not for me. I would not be super pumped about that. So like for a long time I felt like that was when I would arrive. You know, I'm sure a lot of us went through that looking for God's will. Like as we get out of high school, we're like, what am I going to do? And I searching for these things and always feeling like, when I get to this place, when I have this position, when this thing is set up, then I'm going to be ready to walk into the calling that God's given me. I'm going to be able to fully experience, you know, heaven on earth in my life. And maybe for some of you, that's when you die and go to heaven. You know, that's the right place and time when it's going to happen. But God has definitely given us more hope than that. And like I've said before on an earlier slide, with diligence, like being diligent with what you've been given right now and in this place, yeah, you don't need to be waiting for something to be added to you. When you're diligent with, you know, that talent, like there's that parable of the talents when, you know, they're doled out and they're supposed to invest them, right? But someone just hides it because they're scared. Like, God's given you something, and it's time for you to step out and, you know, spend that money, put out that investment, take that risk, and step out. You don't need to wait for a better season in life to start experiencing and walking out the calling that God's given you. Because you're not going to. Like, I wouldn't be up here speaking. I wouldn't be worshiping with Nathan if I was waiting for a better season or everything to line up. Like, over the last year, one of the words that I had to, like, adopt from God was that we were worship leaders. Like, worship leaders, like, worship leaders. Not just, like, a team on a Sunday morning, but, like, we're actually worship leaders. And it didn't take long. It was probably a month later that we were invited to lead worship at Rock Lake. And, like, things just started falling into place. And that was, like, an internal thing for me. It was, like, I'm going to accept, God, that what you've given to me isn't, like, conditional on people recognizing it. It's just, you know, what you've spoken to me, and I'm going to take a step out. And so then when the invitation came, I wasn't weirded out. I wasn't like, that's too much for us. I was like, no, that fits with what God's given us, like what God's put inside of us. I could say yes, and I was prepared, you know? So is that making sense? When we're constantly waiting for the right time or something to be added to us, we can miss our opportunities to step into what we've been called to. So if you got the call, and I'm sure a lot of you have, and I also don't want to assume that everyone has felt like, okay, I know what, you know, what God's placed inside of me. I think, yeah, at the end of the service here, I want to have some time for prayer and invite, you know, if you feel like you've had God speak to you and called you into something, I'll have the leadership team up here to pray like a father and mother blessing over you into that. And if you're feeling like I'm unclear about what I've been equipped to do, like we want to pray for clarity for you guys. And and if you've had words that have been disqualifying you from your calling, we want to help, just partner with you. I want to hurry a little bit because we're getting a bit late. Are you guys doing okay? Can I do like a couple more? This is something else that has come up in my life, I think, as we're walking out calling, and our church has been really big on this over the last few years, is honoring one another, learning to practice that. And people won't always get you. They won't understand you or understand what you're bringing or understand what God's put inside of you. Like, you don't even know very well yourself. You might be searching that out, so, like, even less that other people around you are going to get it, right? God is the only one who really knows what he's purposed you for. But it's very easy, like I said earlier, shared kind of some of my experience, it's very easy to drift into bitterness and feeling overlooked and mad at everyone else because I'm not being obedient to my calling. And honor is a wonderful way to combat that bitterness. Learning to see each other like as spiritual people. Paul talks about that. Like, we put off the old, put on the new. We're no longer, we used to view like Jesus according to the flesh. They were like, he's going to be the king. He's going to kick out the Roman, da da da. And, but now we see the bigger picture. We see the spiritual man who Jesus was. And that's the same for us, that when we are looking at ourselves, we can look at, we can see ourselves as a new creation, a spiritual creation. And when we look at other people, we have the ability to see them as spiritual people and not only look at the flesh, but look at what God has placed inside of them, this spirit, this eternal seed that's inside of them, that's like waiting to be planted and bring forth fruit. We had had, I had a group of really lovely women that are like very good friends of mine that I was working with, and during that time I felt like I was stepping, we'd had a bunch of meetings and I felt like I was just having conflict after conflict after conflict, and it was super confusing for me because I was like, I love them all, but like no one's getting me, and I felt like super misunderstood, and then it made me feel like I had to push for harder, you know, like push my, no, you don't get it. Like, if I just tell you more and more about what I believe or think, like, you'll get it. And it was not working for me. And I sat down with Daniel Williams. He's not here, so I can talk about him. That's okay. And he was just very encouraging to me. He had said that we can get so caught up in our calling and our vision and the passion that's in our heart that we can actually sacrifice the relationships around us for that vision. And that's not a healthy place to be. We're actually called to walk together. Even though we're super different, we're called to walk together. And so when we're sacrificing the relationship for the cause, and when our zeal is outmeasuring the love and grace in our hearts, we can really miss it. So that sometimes means taking a step back, like holding, using, like, don't give up on your vision. Don't drop your calling, but like be willing to hold it there for a while when people don't get you, and extend love and blessing around you. And they're going to see it. Like, bit by bit, they're going to understand it more clearly. And, like, to be honest, you're going to understand it more clearly. Like, I needed to understand what was going on inside me more clearly. So there's a time and place to hold what you have and, like, take those steps of obedience, but don't push everyone out of your way to see it accomplished, because you need everyone. We need each other to support each other, you know, and to grow and, like, to have a more healthy, full, you know, picture of what the body looks like. And so often we have something inside of us and no one gets it, and we push and we sever all the relationships, and then there's no support at all, and then we run off trying to find another community that will, you know, understand and get it, and they're not going to get it either, you know? Like, it takes time, and that's the relational side of things. So, yeah, at the convergence, there's a lot of talk about spiritual fathers and mothers, and I think that's very important, getting the blessing of spiritual mothers and fathers in your lives. And, yeah, finding people that aren't just like you, like, that don't just think the way you think, and, like, learning to work alongside them is so important. Yeah, and finding mentors and... Yeah. Again, I was thinking about King David, how there's this opportunity. He's already been anointed as king, and Saul's doing, like, a horrible job. And there's an opportunity for David to kill Saul in this cave. Like, no one would even, I think, have held it against him to kill Saul at that time. But David had so much honor for Saul, even though Saul was, like, way off. He was, like, God, that's God's anointed, and I'm going to wait for God to make the space for me to become king. And that's like an incredible, an extreme example of honor. But he wasn't willing to sacrifice love and grace for that position and that place. So, does that make sense? And I'd encourage you to find people who will spur you on in your calling. I got a life coach this last year. She's like an amazing woman who works out in the Middle East. She's like my age. We went on a DTS together, and we had a Go conference, which is like they talk about missions and stuff, and there's invitations, and there was someone there, a man who had invited, I can't even say exactly where she is, because just it's all protected or whatever, but there was an invitation, like, if you don't go, who will go? And she stepped up, like, at 18 and said, I'll go. And she's been there, and she's made it her life and developed, like, this incredible program. And then she was, like, looking, can I be a life coach? You know, she needed people. And I was like, yeah. And, like, she's like, so, you know, what's holding you back? And I'm like, well, like, my life's too easy. Her life was, like, crazy right at that point. Like, she had just, like, nearly escaped death. And I was like, I'm, like, really, you know, stuck on watching Netflix and just wasting my time on Facebook. And, like, how can I even complain about these things to you when you're, like, in the thick of it? But it was just really great to have, you know, a life coach. She was willing to, like, sit with me, and she didn't make me feel bad about those things. But it was she asked me, like, hey, you know, what have you gone through in life? You know, what have been some of your experiences? Those actually can help prepare you for your calling. And that, like, you don't always think, you can always think about those things, you can sometimes think about those things as, like, discounting you for your calling, but we know that God works everything for good for those who love him. So those actually can come into your life and prepare you and propel you forward into what you've been called to. So if you're, like, super unclear, look at some of the things that you've walked through. Look at some of the things that people have spoken into your life, you know, in the past and affirmed in you. What are some of the things that you keep, you know, getting drawn to? And, like, I highly recommend a life coach, because they don't tell you, they don't give you answers, they just ask questions, and it's, like, super painful. They're like, so how, you know, how would you make steps towards, you know, towards this? You're like, tell me what to do. Like, what's the answer? She's like, I don't know. You know, you need to decide, and you need to have that whatever. So that was really good. I highly recommend having a life coach and finding friends who will pray with you. I was just thinking this week about how, like, accountability partners used to be a really big thing. I don't know if it still is. But that for me was always like I'm struggling with sin, so I need an accountability partner so that I don't, like, do bad things. I don't know. Has that been, like, your framework? Anyone? Okay, well, that was mine. And I was like, why don't we, like, an accountability partner can be someone who, like, holds you accountable to your calling. Like, hey, what, you know, have you set some goals, like, recently? Like, what are you going to do in the next month? Or what's this next year going to look like, you know, in partnership with what you want to be, you know, doing? What do you want to look like? So, yeah, I was just thinking that would be great to have. And I've talked a little bit about their church and family, and, yeah. Again, just my excitement about where we're at today. And, yeah, I feel like our church family is ready to start walking out our identity. Like, we've learned it. We've been learning it and learning our place in the kingdom and learning our place in the family. And it's like we're ready now to take these steps forward. Yeah, so maybe... Daniel, do you want to come up? I know it's late, but I wanted to just ask a few questions for you guys and give you a few minutes to actually, like, yeah, come up with some thoughts of your own about your own life and not just, like, things I've told you about myself. And then, yeah, after a few minutes, I'll just ask these questions. You can write them down, answer them. I just challenge you to do that, and then we'll have the prayer team up front and the leadership team, and that's anyone who's on the prayer team can come up, just to pray blessing over you you know, if you've been feeling like, yeah, God's been, you know, planted these seeds in me, these are things that I feel like I've been called to, but I've never actually, you know, taken those steps forward. And or if you're dealing with different things that have discounted you from your calling or from, yeah, stepping forward, things that you think, I'm not the right person for that. Like Moses said, I'm not good at speaking. Why would you send me to, you know, Pharaoh? You know, if you're feeling like that, we want to pray with you. And yeah, so I'll just pray and invite God to speak to you. Jesus, I thank you so much that you knew who we are before we were even born, God, and you decided that this year we would all be together and this day we would all be in this room. That you brought us together for a purpose, and that you've prepared good work for us to do that is a well-fitting yoke, a good and easy yoke for us, that we can co-labor with you. And you prepared all those things for us. That means you've equipped us for them. God, I thank you for that. I pray that you just speak to each one here today about the purpose that you have for them. And make clear any words or lies or disqualifying statements that's holding them back from walking out in those areas. Yeah, so I'll just ask for you to take a moment and ask God if there are any words that have been whispered in your ear or spoken over you by your parents or, you know, told to you by teachers or a pastor or whatever, people that you respected and you've taken them to heart, but they've discounted you from taking steps forward in your calling. Just invite you to take a moment with God and ask if there's any words like that that you need to lay down. And I'd also challenge you to ask God to fill in the statement that says, I am blank. Ask God to fill that in. So that's two things. I'd ask him if there's things in your history that have prepared you for now. Just invite the prayer team and leadership to come up. So if there's a calling that God's placed on your life that you want a blessing into and prayer over, I invite you to come up. And if there are lies or words that you've been dealing with that have disqualified you from stepping forward in what you created for, I invite you to come up and get prayer for that. And just want to bless you. You guys, you're free to go if you need to, but yeah, I'm just very excited about this time in history and what God's doing in our church. So I just bless you.